Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
And we are here. James Marlett from DenverFan.com filling in for Zach By. Former Bronco Nate Jackson filling in for Brandon Stokely. What's up, Nate?
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm good now because I'm off of I-25.
Yeah, you barely made it.
I was cutting it close. I was kind of pulling a Zach By there, sort of sprinting in right. as the music starts.
How were you feeling when that was going on? Were you panicking at all? Were you like, oh my gosh, Nate's going to have to start the show off?
Well, I wasn't worried about that. I knew you'd be fine with that. I don't know if it's my type A personality or what it is, but like, I can't stand being late for things.
Yeah.
It's kind of the old Ellen DeGeneres line, you know, when she's in one of her stand-ups, she's talking about how, you know, she was in a meeting and somebody said, sorry, I'm late. Traffic was bad. And she's like, what do you think? I took a helicopter here? Like, we all got a plan. So I can't stand it.
Right.
So I was actually taking photos of where I was on the highway so I could show you, like, no, I was here at 11:45. I was here at 11:50. Like, I gave myself time. I just wasn't planning on the accident right
now. So you're taking visual evidence of your, so you had an excuse.
Yes.
You didn't
yes.
need to use it, though. You made it.
I made it. Yeah. Barely. Hey, we got some breaking news I want to get your thoughts on. So yesterday, news came down. The NFL announced in a memo to teams that if they have to postpone a game or move a game, or they won't postpone or move games, if it's due to a COVID outbreak that stems from an unvaccinated player on the team. And game checks will be lost by both sides. The team responsible will owe back to the league the money lost via TV revenue. Like, it's some big implications. I want to get your thoughts on that as we go. But this news, and it has some Denver ties. This is from Courtney Cronin, who covers the Vikings. Rick Dennison is out as the Vikings offensive line coach, run game coordinator, after refusing the COVID-19 vaccine. Minnesota will promote assistant offensive line coach Phil Rauscher to replace Dennison, and they hired Auburn special teams analyst Ben Steele as an assistant. Stokely and I talked about this yesterday when the news came out that, you know, if you're one of the guys that's in maybe the last 10, 15 spots on the roster, whether or not you're vaccinated could be a tiebreaker, right? Like, you become a riskier player if you haven't been vaccinated, and that would impact some guys' jobs. Well, now we're seeing it's impacting coaches as well. Rick Dennison, who was here for a long time, was offensive coordinator, worked for Gary Kubiak for a long time. He has been fired for refusing to take the COVID-19 vaccine.
So silly, man. Come on, Rico. He goes by Rico. Yeah, I've known him for a long time. He's a 63-year-old man. Okay, so I think this vaccine was set up to protect guys like him, people who are older than the age of 50. I know are at higher risk. Rico must either really, really have a strong stance on this vaccine, or really just not really want to be the run game coordinator in Minnesota anymore. That's a very hard line to take. You know, to he would rather not get a very provably safe vaccine than coach with his team. But that's a real life consequence for taking that stand, and I think we're probably going to see more of it.
Yeah, you know, I guess I'll say this. I admire his convictions, right? If you're willing to walk away from that kind of a job because of whatever stance it is, you know, moral, ethical, whatever. Okay, I can admire that. I can respect that. That's someone's opinion and decision, and that's fine. Yeah, that's I have to scratch my head about it, though, right? Like, it seems like in life we all have, you know, risk reward kind of trade offs and things that we have to look at. And, you know, I get it. I don't want to necessarily get into each side of the vaccine, but man, if you're in that age group, if you've got that much to lose if you don't get it, To me, that feels like a no-brainer, so this is a little bit surprising, but we saw the Washington State head coach miss the Pac-12 media day because he doesn't want to get it. I think you're right. I don't think this is the end of seeing coaches, maybe not fired, but hey, are they just sitting out a year, that kind of thing? Like, there's going to be more and more of this as time goes on.
Yeah, and I think it would be interesting to talk to Rico and say, why? Why did you not want to take it? I think it's an interesting conversation to have because everyone has their own reasons. Like you said, is it moral? Is it is he a scientist and he's done the research?
Right,
I don't think Rico has done extensive research. So it's like it's a feel thing, right? But why do people not want the vaccine? Do you not trust the medical staff at your team? Because, look, your value as an NFL player is on the field as a healthy football player, right? So they're not going to stick you with anything that they think is going to make you less healthy. They're going to want to keep you optimized health-wise. So in my opinion, you know, anything they give you, like if the NFL teams are lining you up to give you a vaccine, they must not be concerned about the efficacy of that vaccine because otherwise they wouldn't give it to you.
Yeah.
They need you out on the field.
Yeah.
If they think it's going to kill you or cripple you, they're not going to give it to you. So the NFL medical staffs are the best in the world. You got 15 doctors every single day circling you, watching you work. Okay. If you fall down, they run at you and pick you up, take you into the training room, nurse you back to health. If you're sick, they give you the medicine you need to get better. If you have a significant injury, they give you pills to get better. Sometimes those pills are problematic, but you take them. And so for the guys who are like, I don't know what's in this vaccine, I'm not going to take it. Well, do you know what's in the pills that are in your locker? I guarantee you don't know that.
Right.
You know, so there's an element of trust that we give up to our medical staffs when we play in the NFL. And I believe that they have your best interest in mind, especially when it comes to this stuff. But of course, there's a political aspect to it. The NFL doesn't want to lose money. And so they're creating a hard line and you have to play by those rules. But is it worth it to take a stand as a player, risking your salary, risking losing your job when your window is very, very small? Like an NFL player's window is tiny. You know, some guys have 10, 12 years careers. Most guys have 1-2 year careers.
Yeah.
And so are you really going to put yourself and make it harder for you? And that's exactly what you alluded to at the beginning. Like these guys on the bottom of the roster, they're going to have to do what they got to do. And also the prospect of having to take a COVID test every single day. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but the protocol is different from vaccinated and unvaccinated players, right?
It is.
Your life is going to be a lot harder if you don't get vaccinated.
Well, and that was their original way to sort of try and force people. And force isn't really the right word. Strongly encourage, nudge people, players, to get the vaccine is, you know what? It's just going to be, life's going to be more difficult if you don't. You're going to have to wear a mask in the facility. You can't fly with the team. You know, you can't eat with the team, those kind of things. You kind of would have to be isolated. But if you chose to go that route, it's only impacting you. You're making your life more difficult. And okay, that's an easier equation. What happened yesterday, what came down yesterday was, well, now you potentially could be impacting a lot of people,
yeah,
your teammates, and costing them game checks and costing the opposing team game checks, which, you know, could be friends, could be their colleagues either way, right? Their fellow union members. It could be costing your organization tens of millions of dollars potentially in terms of having to refund the NFL money. So then that becomes a different question. That's a whole different kind of pressure.
Yep.
If I'm just impacting myself, okay, I can do a lot of different things. If all of a sudden it's impacting my friends, my teammates, all that kind of stuff, that's a different kind of pressure. Here's my only issue with it. I don't have a problem with the NFL doing this. They're a private business, private organization. They can come up with whatever rules they want. Just like if the restaurant wants to say I have to wear this to walk in there, that's their choice. And then I can choose whether or not I want to do it. Players can choose whether or not they want to partake in this. I think it's a little unfair for the NFL to come out with this rule 3 weeks after the opt-out. Because I think if you're a player who's saying, look, I don't want to take the vaccine, but I also don't want to be the guy that costs my teammates a game check, I'm just going to opt out and take a year off and then come back. There was not a single player that opted out on July 2nd. Here we are 3 weeks later. I don't know that it would have been a ton, but my guess is it would not have been zero.
Right.
And I think that's a little bit unfair. If you're going to pressure players to take the vaccine, then I think you also should have given them that potential out.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think so much that's happening in this new COVID world is like day to day, right? We have new information, we change the rules. And yeah. next week, oh, there's new stuff, we're changing the rules again. And I think so much of, you know, ideally the NFL, I think would probably agree with you there as well. Like, they would have liked to be able to make this rule a month ago.
Yeah.
A week in advance of the opt-out. But, this new Delta variant, man, it's like coming down the pike and it's scaring a lot of people. Like, Olympics are dealing with it now and the cases are on the rise. And so they're like, oh my gosh, we got to do something about this. We can't forfeit games. We're not going to lose out any on money. How can we force these players? It sounds horrible saying that, but how can we force these players to take this vaccine?
Yeah.
I mean, and this is how they're doing it. There's this element of like invincibility that players believe they have that is affecting whether or not they want the vaccine. When I played football, man, I did not believe that tomorrow existed. There was no such thing as a future. The future was right now, and it was my performance today. I'm a superhero. I'm Superman. Nothing can stop me or bring me down. I think that might be lyrics to a song, what I just said.
If not, you should make them lyrics to a song.
But, yeah, dude, like, you don't think like a normal human being. You don't plan for the future. You don't yeah. think that you can be stopped by any little virus or any 300-pound sprinting dude. Like, you're invincible. Like, so much to the point, and this is embarrassing to share this. The first couple of years I was in the NFL, the 401k program was voluntary. Meaning you could do it if you wanted, or you didn't have to. And for me, I didn't even picture a future existing. I wanted all my money now. Give sure. it to me now.
Sure.
I'll never be older.
Like most people in their 20s, right?
Yeah.
And then you throw on the fact that you're a professional athlete,
right.
and you have to kind of have an invincibility mindset to even go out on the field and go do those
right.
things.
Right.
Yeah, you're not worried about what are you going to do when you're 65.
Right. And so those first couple of years, I didn't contribute to the 401k, and therefore the Broncos didn't contribute to it either. Eventually, they made it. They just did it automatically. Thank God. Right?
Which is smart. Yeah.
Yes, yes. That's, and so now I actually have a 401k because they made the decision to do it automatically because I was too stupid to understand that someday this would end.
Right.
When you admit that there is an end someday, you admit that there's a chink in the armor and that you're not Superman. By saying I need a vaccine, you're saying I'm not Superman. And that may psychologically affect you on the field or make you feel not as powerful or invincible as you need to feel to excel. Not making excuses for these guys, but understanding the kind of the breadth of opinions when it comes to this.
Yeah, and you know, from the NFL standpoint, and nobody, you know, everybody likes to pick on Roger Goodell, and everybody likes to pick on the owners, because, you know, nobody feels sorry for a guy that makes $40 million a year. Nobody feels sorry for a bunch of billionaires. But they are trying to figure out a way to run their business. All right, they got a lot of criticism throughout last season for things, you know, when they had started free agency, everybody was saying, oh, you can't do this. This is a bad look. It's just a bad look when people are in a pandemic to be signing these big contracts. Look, Graham Glasgow signing a four-year, $44 million deal is a bad look anytime. So, you know, I thought that was a little silly. Then they got criticized for trying to go forward with the draft. As soon as it's over, everybody's like, you know what? That was really cool. We had 3 days to sit and watch it, and we had Roger down in his basement, and it was kind of fun. Then they got criticized for trying to do the season, and they pulled it off, but it was a little bit of a logistical nightmare, right? You had the Broncos, I think it was the Dolphins, Chargers, Patriots game that all had to be shuffled.
Right.
They wound up missing their bye week. You had some games being played. I think they played a game on every day of the week last year. I think they played a Tuesday night game and a Wednesday game. They played on Saturdays. And I think they just don't want to deal with that mess and that nonsense again. And this is a way for them to do it of, hey, what's the difference between this year and last year? Well, we know a lot more about the disease, but there's also a vaccine and there's a way to make it to where, hey, we can probably get through this season without any issues if everybody would just take this. So they're trying to push people down that path. I get it. I also get though why if you're 23 years old and you're healthy, you're probably throwing up your hands going, why the heck do I have to take it?
Yeah.
Right. Like I can understand both sides of it, but it's going to be interesting because this is going to be an issue throughout the season as we hear these kind of things, and certainly from now until the start of the season when more guys like Rick Dennison, in case you missed it, the Vikings offensive line coach Rick Dennison, former Bronco player, former Bronco assistant coach, fired today for refusing to take the vaccine. Just the latest twist in this, what I imagine will be an ongoing saga.
Yeah, man, it's, I had a point and I was going to make it and then I lost it.
And then I rambled.
No, you didn't ramble. You had some, you know, interesting points to make. What I was going to say was, I think also, you know, there's the letter of the law and there's the spirit of the law, and each team's testing protocol probably a little different. You know, are they all using the same testing kits? Are there going to be some false positives that make people think, okay, we got to pull the plug on this game, but then, oh wait, nope, he's not positive.
Right. We've certainly seen plenty of that.
Right, exactly. So maybe the spirit of the law can provide a little leniency for these teams and not pull the plug on a game just because you have a one positive test or two positive tests. Like, let's really assess the health of these guys. Let's make sure there actually is an outbreak before we pull the plug on this. And let's understand that, you know, there's just so much gray area with the COVID. Like, vaccinated players can still get it, right?
Right.
So you could have a full team, like 100% vaccination rate, but then you have an outbreak on your team and you still forfeit and you don't get paid that week. Like, you did all the things that you had to do. You're still wearing masks and doing all that, and then you still pop positive and then you don't get paid. Like, how's that going to go?
Well, and my understanding of how this is going to work, and they have all their tracing, and I don't know if they're using the armbands again this year that are kind of like you use to get in your hotel room at Disney World and all that kind of stuff. My understanding is if they trace it back to someone who has been vaccinated, then the team is in the clear. But are they going to reschedule those games? What are they going to do if it was a vaccinated player versus unvaccinated? That's a little bit unclear.
Right.
But I'm with you in terms of spirit of the law and letter of the law. And that goes back to the opt-out thing I was talking about. It is new information that comes out every day, right? And I think that's part of what people in general need to understand is it's a fluid situation. If you get more new information, opinions change, you kind of have to adapt the route you're going and those kind of things. But to me, the NFL then should come up with, hey, here's the second opt-out date. That if you really don't want to get the vaccine and you don't want to put yourself in the position where you're going to cost your team, July 30th is the second opt-out date. To me, that would be the fair way to do it. And hey, everything's flexible, everything's fluid. That would give players a chance. Because DeAndre Hopkins yesterday, he tweeted. Now he's since deleted the tweet.
Yeah.
And I'm paraphrasing here, but the fact that he's having to risk his teammates' income makes him question whether he wants to be a part of the NFL. Well, if he walks away, he owes the team back $22 million of his signing bonus. He's not going to walk away, but he's kind of between a rock and a hard place there, right? He doesn't really have a choice. The opt-out would certainly give him that. So I'm with you. I think you got to be flexible. I think you got to be, you know, spirit of the law, not the letter of the law.
Yeah. These elite athletes who are at the top of their game, who've reached the pinnacle of success in the field of football, like every kid who plays high school football wants to make it to the NFL. These guys have, and it's because they've mastered their bodies. They understand how to train. They understand how to perform. They understand how to be at their best. And so I understand the reluctance to kind of take essentially an experimental vaccine into your body, and you don't know how your body's going to respond to that. A week or two from training camp. Like, is it going to put you down? Are you going to now not be at your best? Are you not going to be 100% going into the training camp? Because for a lot of guys, they have to be at their best day one of training camp to make this team.
Right.
Like, that's how it was for me. Every year, there were two seasons. There was training camp and preseason. That was one season for me. And the next season was the actual season. Like, these guys have to be on it on day one. And, you know, they don't want to be feeling bad. And I know there was an Olympic swimmer who used that as his reason for not taking his vaccine. He's been tapering. He's been training for this. He knows his body exactly where he's at. He's not going to put a vaccine in his body a week or two before the Olympics and have to go down and not be able to train for 3 or 4 or 5 days. Who knows what it's going to do to him? That said, my reaction to the vaccine was not very severe. Most of the guys I know who are athletes who took it, not very severe. If you're a fit person, it doesn't really hit you that hard, to my knowledge. So it is a safe thing, but I understand the psychology of resisting it.
That's another thing of the news coming out kind of the 11th hour here, right? Like, if you were a player that was on the fence,
right,
and then thought, oh, okay, with these new rules, I should get it. Well, for one thing, it's, you know, if you're doing the two shot, the two dose, you're not going to be vaccinated, completely vaccinated for like 6 weeks, right? So, you know, that puts you in a little bit of a tough area. Although I guess preseason games and those kind of things wouldn't be as affected by this rule as much as regular season.
I think it's three weeks.
Is it three?
Yeah.
Isn't there four between? See, I did the one shot.
Oh, you did.
Because I was like, I can't keep track of all this. I gotta go simple. Give me the one shot and I'm done. But, you know, you'd be stuck with, yeah, I don't want to be wiped out for, you know, 24 hours, 48 hours in the middle of training camp.
Yeah.
Because of my first dose, my second dose, whatever. That is a little bit of an interesting thing. Cause mine was probably a day that you kind of felt like, you know, not your best.
Right.
But I wouldn't want to have had to go out and compete for a job on a football field.
Right.
Feeling like I was feeling. So that's another part of it that I think just makes it a little bit tricky and unfair.
And it's the second shot that really puts you down harder. So, yeah, you take the first one, let's say now. You're like, okay, I'm going to do it. You take it now. You go to training camp, and then 2 or 3 weeks into training camp, you got to take it again. Who knows what it's going to do to you? Maybe you got your last preseason game in 3 days.
Right.
And you have to take it, you know. So what are you going to do there? But it also could, on the flip side, give you a nice little vet day.
True. I would think the teams want you to take it.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to go,
this has really hit me hard, coach. I'm going to be home again. So depending on where you're at, if you've got an easy ride to make the team, maybe some guys would prefer having a couple days off.
Yeah, no, I definitely
in the it. Middle of camp, in I the dog days of camp, James.
I milked it for a little bit of, yeah.
Just, of course,
I can't get out of bed.
You got to milk it.
I need somebody to, you know, bring me some beverages,
there you
food,
go.
That kind of thing.
Some
so,
beers.
Yeah, there are some upsides to it. All right, so that is the breaking news. Rick Dennison fired as the offensive line coach of the Vikings for refusing to take the COVID-19 vaccine. We'll continue to follow that story and see what the ramifications are, and then I'm sure we'll hear more and more from players as yesterday's memo to the teams starts to have an impact. All right, Nate, are you tired of the Aaron Rodgers story yet?
Yes. Who isn't, man?
Well, then this is bad news for you. There is, I don't know if it's news, because we never really get any news on the Aaron Rodgers front.
No.
It's always about reading the tea leaves.
That's how he likes it, right?
And yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah. And I know you have an interesting take on this in terms of whether or not that's you know, kind of getting annoying, we've had enough of it, and whether or not you would want to you know, have that kind of guy on your team. Well, there are more tea leaves to read on the Aaron Rodgers front. We'll tell you what that is coming up next.
You are listening to Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
James Marlett, Nate Jackson filling in for Stokely and Zach today. Nate, I haven't spoken to you directly about your Aaron Rodgers opinion. I've just heard other hosts on the station mention it. My assessment is that you're kind of over Aaron Rodgers. Is that accurate? You're just tired of hearing the story?
Over it, man. Over it. I mean, come on, Aaron. You know, this has gone on long enough. You haven't said a word about it. You're letting other people carry your water for you. You're being very vague about the reasons why you want out. You've never really actually said that you want out or why you want out. You've talked about culture and how you treat people. But the point of football is to be on a team that wins. You are on a football team that wins. You've won a lot. So it's not about winning for you, Aaron Rodgers, or it's not about being on a good team or making a lot of money. What's it about? It's a vendetta. He's a spiteful individual. That's why he wants out, and I'm not a big fan of it.
You know, it's hard to argue that at this point, because if it's about winning, and we've seen a lot of guys that want to get out of bad situations. We've seen guys retire early, right? Calvin Johnson,
yep.
Barry Sanders, two of the all-time great Detroit Lions, but they're just like, I'm over it. I've been dealing with this for a decade,
right?
And this isn't getting any better. I'm bailing. And I think fans can kind of understand that, right?
Yeah.
Or if you're on a team that's a losing organization at the end of your career, you want to get traded somewhere where you have a chance to win, it might, you know, kind of hurt a little bit as a fan because you've been cheering for that player for a decade or whatever, but you kind of get it. This is a team that's been, what, back-to-back 13-3 seasons?
Yep.
Been to the NFC title game in both years. You know, in this last go-around, if not for Aaron Rodgers' pick right before halftime and then the touchdown pass by Tom Brady, they might have been in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
So you can't look at it that way. And then we found out earlier this week, the Packers offered him a contract that would have made him the highest paid player in the league.
Right.
So it's not about money.
Right.
Then really you're not, there isn't much else to point at other than you just have a vendetta.
Mm-hmm.
This is just personal.
Yeah.
and you won out. And you mentioned that people are having to carry his water for him. Well, the latest, I don't know if it's carrying his water, but kind of sending the message, Davante Adams has been in contract negotiations. I believe he's heading into his last year of his current deal with the Packers. He currently makes $5.25 million a year. He has broken off negotiations with the Packers. So this leads us to ask the question, why? And one of the logical explanations would be, well, he doesn't want to be there if Jordan Love is his quarterback. He'd gladly be there if Aaron Rodgers is throwing him passes. Is this Broncos fans, Broncos country, just trying to find another glimmer of hope on the Aaron Rodgers front? Or is this just a guy, hey, you know what, he's worrying about his money, his contract. It's mutually exclusive from what's going on with Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, I think with Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers, they obviously have a unique and special relationship. Like, anytime you have a receiver quarterback duo who is that prolific, these guys are on the same page. Like, they care about each other. They're dialed in. They're connected. They want to be out there together. So, to me, the fact that Davante Adams is sort of echoing Aaron Rodgers' sentiment when it comes to this team is like, shame on you, Aaron Rodgers, because look at the ripple effect of your vendetta. If what you say is true, that you love the players, you love the fans, you love the coaches, you love the city, you love the tradition, everything's great, but literally there's probably one or two individuals who you don't like, okay? That's why you want out, to spite those dudes. And you are willing to sacrifice the careers of those players you purportedly love in order to do so. So Davante Adams is the first casualty. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't show up, he's not going to be happy, and it might, you know, there might be more that get burned up in that fire. I mean, I just think, like, he's making himself bigger than his team. He's making himself bigger than the game of football at all. Like, football is supposed to be about us in the locker room. Nobody's more important than anyone else.
Right.
And I'm not doubting that, like, when you're actually down there with Aaron Rodgers and, like, on a day-to-day basis, he's not that guy. I think he knows how to come to work, knows how to prepare, knows how to be one of the guys. But just, he's leaning towards... He's going a different route these last couple of years. He's moving away from the ethos that I think are what's so special about the game of football, and especially in Green Bay. Like, that's one of the most storied organizations in the history of football. Like, he took over for a Hall of Famer. He's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Right.
That city and organization has been very good to him.
They've had 30 years of pretty darn good quarterbacks.
Yeah, and I think he's kind of overlooking that. He's like a little bit of a – he's been spending a lot of time in Hollywood. With Hollywood people, having late night conversations with people who live in Hollywood. And when you talk to people in Hollywood, they don't talk about what is, they talk about what should be, okay? They deal with pie in the sky, hopes, dreams, and aspirations. They don't deal with life as it is.
They don't deal with reality.
They make movies,
right,
man, okay?
They deal with make-believe for a living. That's
right.
What, the, by definition, their job.
Exactly. Football is never, it's like, it's... Your happiness is not guaranteed to you in football. Football's not about being happy. It's about being miserable and going through it and fighting it and coming out the other side with your buddies and achieving glory together. Football's not fun every day. Going to football practice ain't fun. I mean, people at home are thinking, man, what a great life. You get to go play football for a living. It is hard work and it's stressful. Sometimes it's very boring. You're in meetings for 4 or 5 hours a day. A day.
Right. So mentally taxing,
mentally
too, right?
Mentally taxing, physically brutal. It's not fun, but it is rewarding because you persevere with your guys through that. And the Green Bay Packers have done so very successfully. Like you just mentioned, 13-3, 2 years in a row. They were the number one seed in the NFL. They could have gone to the Super Bowl. And Aaron Rodgers wants to place blame elsewhere for it. How about looking in the mirror, Aaron? What could you have done to get him over the hump? Maybe your attitude was the problem. You know what I mean? Awesome quarterback, one of the best of all time, bad attitude right now.
Well, and you know, you hear this a lot in professional sports when someone is holding out for more money. His teammates are typically pretty understanding of that, right? Because they all get that it's a business and that person has to take care of their own business, and they don't hold that grudge. If this isn't about money,
right,
and it isn't about the coaches, and it isn't about your teammates, is it the kind of situation, if he comes strolling back, I don't know, 3 weeks into training camp, does everybody just kind of forget about it and be like, hey, Aaron Rodgers just walked in, Jordan Love's been throwing the ball into the dirt, so great, we're fine with it? or is it something that could be, you know, a situation where they're holding a grudge because nobody knows what it was about? Nobody knows why Aaron Rodgers put his teammates in this position.
Yeah, I think it's depends on how he handles it. Like you just said, if he comes 3 weeks into training camp, that's too late. To me, he's got to come sooner. I mean, I think he's probably considering, do I show up day one and just talk to my team, apologize for the way things went down, say they got blown out of proportion, and say, hey, I'm with you guys. Let's go back to work and make this happen. If you do that, it's probably water under the bridge. You know what I mean? With your guys, because they want to win. They know, you know, everyone's different. They know Aaron Rodgers is sort of an institution in and of himself. He's not like other guys. He's not only is he a complicated fella, but his career is an anomaly. Most quarterbacks don't have that kind of success. And so you got to expect that this guy's going to be doing his own thing to an extent. But that said, like, respect is very important in the locker room. Like, if you don't have the respect of your teammates, you got nothing, really. Like, you may make a lot of money and you may have a decent career, but if you don't have the respect of your teammates, it's not satisfying. It's not fulfilling. And I think that Aaron Rodgers is towing that line right now, where he might be losing the respect of people that he's fought to gain it from. And that's what he's risking. He's losing respect from the fans that he's sacrificed so much for. He's losing respect from the coaches that value him so much, you know, and ultimately I think that's what he's got to be concerned about, is his legacy. He's tarnishing his legacy right now. But I think if he shows up day one or even the first couple days, talks to his team, apologizes for the way it went down, and goes back to work, I think all will be forgiven.
Well, he has done a good job of making sure he doesn't burn a bridge with anybody that he may have to go back and work with, right? He hasn't thrown Matt LaFleur under the bus or any of the coaches.
Right.
He hasn't thrown his teammates under the bus, including Jordan Love. He hasn't said anything negative about those guys. So if he does go back and he plays for the Packers, the people he has to interact with on a daily basis, there's nothing that's going to make it uncomfortable.
Right.
You know, it's the GM, it's the team president. How often does the quarterback come in contact with those guys? I would think he could make it zero if he really wanted to.
Right.
It's not like he has to walk up there every, you know, Monday to pick up his paycheck. So he set himself up in a position where he can avoid awkwardness if he wants to. But it's also why I don't believe what he's saying. Because if you have a vendetta against the team president or the general manager or whoever it is, that's a silly reason to go through all that, because you don't deal with that person. Yeah. If you love your teammates, if you love your coaches, if you love the city, if we're a winning team, if you're going to make a ton of money, like, nothing's perfect, Aaron.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got all the things checked off that are important. It's like being upset of, you know, you don't like, I don't know, the guy who parks the cars. Like, you never have to see him if you don't want to.
Right.
It's kind of silly. That's why I don't believe it. I don't. And if you go back to his first training camp, there was the negative interaction and all the stories about Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers not getting along. I'm not saying that's what it really is, but it's something else, because the way it's been portrayed and the way, you know, we've all kind of tried to connect dots, it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't add up. I don't buy it.
Yeah, and he had a problem with Mike McCarthy and got him fired, essentially.
He may have been right on that one.
Well, he may have been right.
When you watch Mike McCarthy without Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's true. But he may have had a hand in that. So, to your point, he may have beef with coaches that influence his willingness to stay there or put up with the situation he's in. But yeah, who knows what the real reason is for Aaron going through this. You know, I just know that his best chance to win a Super Bowl is right where he is right now. You're not going to come to the Broncos August 15th and think you're going to have a better chance to hoist the Lombardi Trophy this year, then if you stay right where you are with the guys you know how to play with, the system you're familiar with, and a team who was literally on the doorstep of the Super Bowl the last 2 years. So why are you bailing out? Like, what? You're so close. You're so close. And if I'm a teammate of his, I'm like, well, dude, we're so close. And you want to leave?
Yeah. Yeah. What? That would be the frustrating part of it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And he talks about, like, how much he loves his players and his teammates, but He's upset at the decisions the GM has made. So basically you're saying you don't like the players.
Yeah.
Like, you don't like them that
way,
much.
That's exactly,
like, a little implicit saying. Slap in the face with the guys that you're playing with. Like, you guys aren't good enough for me. I want to go somewhere else.
It's the same issue I had with Nolan Arenado, right? When you're upset after one off season because the Rockies didn't make enough moves or any moves, you're essentially saying the guys in the clubhouse, they're not good enough.
Yeah.
I need better teammates. You're not directly saying it, but indirectly, if anybody can read between the lines, that's what they're saying. So I'm with you. But you know what? Aaron Rodgers needs to look at it. If he doesn't like Matt LaFleur, you got to get a load of Vic Fangio, right? I mean, careful what you wish for. All right. Speaking of quarterbacks, Tom Brady, interestingly, let everybody know that he thinks of himself as the GOAT. We'll tell you what he said, and we'll debate whether he's not or he's right. Coming up next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach. I'm a bastard.
So, Nate, do you remember the comments from Tom Brady when he was on LeBron James' HBO show, The Shop?
No, refresh me.
He talked about how when he was a free agent, there was a team that he was interested in going to, and they decided they were going to stick with the quarterback they had.
Yeah.
And he said, used an expletive, so I got to be really careful here, Richie, make sure I don't slip up. He basically said, really, you're going to stick with that MF-er?
Oh.
That was his quote on the show, because it's HBO, they can say it.
Yeah.
Well, recently he expounded upon that. He gave a little more kind of his thought process on it. Here's what Tom Brady had to say about it.
And there's no better place for me to go than where I actually went, was the Bucks.
But you've caused a lot of intrigue with this, and everybody's guessing. Do you care to expose who it was you were talking about?
No, because there's private things for me that are going to remain, motivational for me. So they know who they are. I mean, they know that the teams.
You think
know,
they know?
Yeah, the teams know who were probably interested. And yeah, I mean, it's fine. I mean, everyone's got a choice to choose. You know, I think what you realize is that there's not as many smart people as you think. You know, it's just a reality. I think it'd be a no-brainer if you said, you know, hey, you got a chance to get Wayne Gretzky on your team, or you get a chance at Michael Jordan on your team. Oh, we don't need him. You know, no thanks. We're good. You know, I'm kind of thinking, okay, well, let me go show those teams what they're missing. And at the same time, let me go prove to the team that did bet on me and the team that really showed that they really wanted me and committed to me that I'm not going to let them down.
That sounds really, really arrogant when you put yourself in the same class as Wayne Gretzky and Michael Jordan.
Unless you are in the same class.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The thing of it is, like, he is in that class. Like, he's 100% right on this topic. Like, there are maybe five teams. I mean, Kansas City, Green Bay, like, we could name them on one hand that would have been fine last year just sticking with what they had instead of saying, oh, you know what, let's go with Brady, including here. I don't understand. And he also is 100% right when he says, you know what, there aren't as many smart people as you think.
That's true.
Because I get this a lot, you know, when I'm on Twitter and I'm criticizing George Payton or John Elway, you know, people talk about, oh, yeah, you think you could be a GM. Well, you know, if I do. If I studied it and that was my job.
Well, why don't you start, James? It's like, not too late.
I think you could do it. I'll tell you what I would do. If Tom Brady wanted to come play for my team, I wouldn't say, nah, I'm good. Like, I mean.
But you have to understand some of the team's reluctance to pick up Tom Brady last year. No one thought he was going to be as good as he was with the Bucks, right? I think a 42-year-old guy, you kind of think, the Patriots are letting him go. Bill Belichick kind of knows what he's doing also. Like,
okay,
you know, you kind of trust that this man has a plan. And if he has seen enough from Tom Brady, then maybe we should take that as a cue that he's over the hill. Now, obviously, that didn't turn out to be true. Never underestimate the spite of the GOAT.
Right.
GOAT spite.
Right.
Yeah. GOAT spite
is
powerful.
He's unbelievable at motivating himself.
Right.
Which, when I hear that quote, that sounded a lot like Michael Jordan about 47 times in The Last Dance.
Yeah.
Right? I took that personally. I took that personally. Like, that guy was the king of self-motivation. A lot of it manufactured. Like, he just would have a beef with somebody just that he made up in his own mind just to drive himself. Tom Brady very much the same way. But you're right. The spite of the GOAT.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like when Manning came here.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he at least considered Houston, and Gary Kubiak was down there, and they're basically like, we got Matt Schaub.
Yeah.
Like Matt Schaub was kind of whoever, he was the 2012 version
right.
of whoever Tom Brady is talking about in this situation. I think it's hard to debate of whether or not Tom Brady is that guy. And we don't like to say that in this town, but when you've got that resume.
Well, seven rings.
Yeah.
I mean, seven rings.
More than any other franchise.
Yeah.
It's not even a question anymore. And so I think if you've got an opportunity to get a guy like that, and I get all that you're saying. Tom Brady was 42. Bill Belichick knows what he's doing. Why does he want to move on from him? You know, that would certainly make me ask questions. But you could also go back and just watch the film from his previous season and you know, see how he played. See if you see huge holes in his game or like, man, his arm strength's gone. But then you could also kind of talk to the guy and get a sense of, you know, where's he at mentally with that spike game, right? Is he motivated to go prove people wrong? That's why, you know, I think John Elway was really, really smart, really, really savvy when he rolled the dice on Peyton Manning, which was a big-time roll of the dice. Guy hadn't played a football game, missed the whole season, hadn't been on a field in, you know, almost a calendar or two calendar years by the time he came here. Couldn't throw the ball 10 yards when he started kind of trying to work out and get back into shape. But betting on that guy, Peyton Manning, was smart.
Yeah.
Betting on Tom Brady would have been pretty smart. Don't you think whoever this team is that he's talking about is kicking themselves?
Perhaps, man. I mean, but what team is it? You know, you gotta look at like, what's the makeup of this team? Like the Tampa Bay Bucks have a really, really good defense. Like he went to a team with a very well built defense and a lot of talent on offense, right? Who were really, 50 interceptions away the previous season with Jameis Winston from being a playoff team, probably.
Yeah.
If they had a quarterback who protected the ball a little better, they probably would have been in the playoffs. And so Tom Brady had a really good situation, the team he ended up on. Like if he would have ended up on, you know, the Chargers, for example, would he have had the same season? Probably not. You know?
No, and Bruce Arians is a really good head coach.
Yeah.
You know, he hadn't won a Super Bowl prior to last year, but they had some winning teams down in Arizona, and that's a franchise that for the most part never wins. So that shows you something. I mean, it had to be, to me, it had to be San Francisco. Had to be. You know, he's got connections to the Bay Area. That's where he's from.
Yeah.
If you're Tom Brady, you know, I think, I don't know that you want to go to Chicago to play out your career.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Chicago's a nice city and all, but you're going to be playing in some terrible weather. San Francisco, pretty nice place to go.
So you're thinking that San Francisco was that team that passed on him, said they didn't want him?
And they wanted to go with Garoppolo, who
was his
backup. At one point wanted to replace him with.
Right.
Like, there had to be something else to it other than just, we wanted to stick with this guy to draw that term. The term that he applied to the quarterback they wanted to go with wasn't a, really, you're going to go with that stiff, that stooge? Like,
but don't you think he would have a different term if it was Jimmy?
I think it's about as harsh a term as it could be, right?
Well, he likes Jimmy. Like, Jimmy was his buddy.
Jimmy?
Yeah, Jimmy. Jimmy was his buddy.
But didn't he force Jimmy to get out of town? Didn't he push for the trade?
I don't know. Did he? I mean, of course, anyone who backs him up, it doesn't matter if Tom Brady's not going to surpass Tom Brady. Maybe he was threatened slightly by him, but I'm sure. Look, if you spend all those days together in the film room, in meetings, out on the field, you become friends. I don't know. I don't think he would have disparaging views towards Jimmy Garoppolo, but maybe he would. Maybe he's just that psychopathic. This guy, look, the thing that separates these guys, the GOATs, like the Peyton Manning from Tom Brady to everyone else in the NFL, like, all these guys have natural talent. They're obviously all very driven, but there's something else in the brain of these guys where they're able to just keep going. Like nothing else matters but my success on the football field. Like
right. The
passions of life do not stir me. I don't get enticed by something out there. I stay in here. I stay focused on this all the time.
Right.
And for most guys in the NFL, their careers are derailed eventually because they are stirred by other passions. Like, you can't focus every ounce of energy in your life on being an awesome football player. Like, you're a human being. Tom Brady is not a human being. He's been able to do that. Focus 100% of his being on being the GOAT. And he's achieved that, you know, and it hasn't come at a, you know, without a price though. Like, he sacrificed a lot to be in that seat.
Well, he doesn't eat strawberries.
That's one of them.
But I mean,
imagine never eating a strawberry.
He's married to a supermodel. He's got, like, it's not as though he's had these huge sacrifices.
Are they allowed to, like, you know, be in the same room?
Well, they've been in the same room at least a couple times. I don't know how many kids he's got, but he's getting
you don't know how that works with those people, man.
I think it was definitely San Francisco. He's from the Bay Area. They were coming off a Super Bowl, and they win that Super Bowl if Jimmy Garoppolo hits a wide-open Emmanuel Sanders on a post route. He was wide open and sailed the ball by 10 yards. They win it. They beat the Chiefs in that Super Bowl if he hits him.
Yep.
To me, that's the team he was referring to. But at the end of the day, Tom Brady's right. He is the GOAT.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.